I don't know if you know, but over Christmas you had a nasty abscess, didn't you? And unfortunately it's starting to come back again, and she's not able to get an appointment till tomorrow. So I don't know, Wendy, would you mind just praying for Hannah now and just asking for some healing for her? Amen. Thank you. Okay, so as I normally do when it's the first Sunday in the new year, I like to do a little bit of a review. I'll hopefully keep it fairly quick, but I really wanted to just give some thank yous before I sort of share a passage that I have for you, because, you know, we come along each Sunday and we're not always aware of the things that go on that make our morning meeting happen, you know, the people that are here to welcome people as they arrive. You know, we all have a go at the tea and coffee rota, you know, like this morning, we haven't got anybody down, but, you know, Andy and Donna were here, saw it, did it, don't have to think about it. It's, you know, it's things like that, when we work together like that, that actually make us the church that we are. Wanted to say a special thank you to Kevin and to Richard and Wendy for keeping things running when I wasn't here for my sabbatical. And not only that, for the support that they give to me and to Mark, and the input that they have to us as a church. You know, you might not always be aware of it, but, you know, any decisions that are taken, we take together. And it's good to know that, you know, there are people there who have got wisdom and who have input into that. I want to say thank you to the Sunday school leaders and helpers. You know, every Sunday, children disappear out there and we don't see what they get up to. Who knows what they're getting up to this morning? Probably better that we don't know. But, you know, to do that, to have to prepare to go out and help, we really do appreciate that. Our children are really important. And, you know, they deserve to be looked after well. And the people that serve in the Sunday school, whether, as I say, as helpers or leaders, you know, thank you for doing that. Thank you for caring for our children and our young people, because it's an investment that you're making into them that in years to come, hopefully, will reap the benefits of that. So if any of you would like to join the team, I know that they would be very grateful for helpers. One of the reasons we're going to be doing a service once a month where the children are with us is because we do need more helpers. So if that's something that you feel that you could do, would enjoy doing, then do speak to me and I can tell you more about it. I want to say thank you to the worship team that are here every week and serving us and leading us. And I want to encourage the worship team. Mary shared something with me earlier at the start of the meeting. Mary, would you mind just saying what this is about, the carol service that we had?
Yes, so I know some of you were aware, Jan and Minty were with us on that day, and they brought some missionaries from Switzerland Lindy is a worship leader, and her story is amazing. God told her, an Iowa farm girl, to go to France and write worship songs. And she had a big argument with God about this that went on for a while. But in the end, she went to France and she wrote worship songs, and she's now written lots of songs which are published in French, that are in 52 different countries. The book is printed in 52 different countries. And they really wanted to go to an English carol service. They speak, obviously being American, they speak English, but they're in Switzerland, in the French-speaking area. And they just, because they were here, they wanted to go somewhere, so they came to us. And at the end of the service, Lindy said, That was amazing. That just blessed me so much. And then I saw her last week as well, and she said how that the carol service made their Christmas. How impressed she was with the quality, not just of the singing, but of the music as a whole, and just really, really blessed them. So, just to encourage you.
Yeah. Look, we don't always hear those sort of that sort of feedback. We do it and we enjoy doing it, but you know, to hear that actually, you know, when we worship and when we do that, that it does have an impact on people. It does make a difference. So thank you to the worship team, and thank you for Sharon for stepping in, because before my sabbatical I was sort of leading the worship team amongst the many other things that we did. While I was away, Sharon did such a good job that I just knew that when I came back I didn't need to step back in to do it. So thank you. That's been a big blessing to me. So, and now I can just do it when I want to, or if I'm needed. So I haven't got that sort of commitment now to have to do worship every week, which has made a big difference for me. And for Sally, for doing the word, you don't realise sometimes how frustrating that can be. And now Mary has come alongside to help Sally, so she's doing it once a month. But sometimes it can be really, really frustrating, can't it? When these computers, they just don't behave themselves. They've got a mind of their own. And I have to mention the PA team as well. It's lovely that Jack's joined us on the PA team. And thank you to you as well for all that you do. One of the things that I really appreciate is the flowers. Not everybody notices them, and it's not everybody's thing, but I love flowers, as you know. And when I come in on a Sunday and I see the flower arrangements that Anne and Christine do, you know, that's a real blessing to me. I just think it just adds something to the church. So thank you. And obviously Roger and Christine do the flowers out at the front as well. And that always looks lovely. I always think when people are standing at the bus stop and looking at those flowers, it must make them notice the church. And it's, you know, something they do quietly. You know, we don't props always notice, but thank you, I notice. And I think it's lovely. And you're all sitting on the chairs this morning. They didn't get there on their own. Nigel is up hiding in the PA desk with Jack. Nigel comes every week to put out the chairs for us so that we can sit on them. And, you know, just appreciate that. Roger, doing the finances, thank you. Wherever. Is he? No. Tell him I said thank you. And I mentioned earlier that we've got Messy Church coming up. Every year I go, is this the year to stop Messy Church? Is this it? Have we come to the end of the season? And every time I think that, something good happens. So just before our Chris Dingle service, we were inundated, weren't we? Well, it felt like we were inundated. We've doubled the numbers that we would normally have. Mark managed to make the food spread. It was a bit like feeding the 5,000, wasn't it? We were chopping things up and mixing them around, but we did it. Everybody ate, and there was some left over. So that worked really well. But I think the biggest encouragement that we had was the month before, wasn't it, Wendy? Because we've been bringing a prayer box every month, and Wendy will say to people, here's the prayer box. If you've got any prayer requests, put them in and we'd be happy to pray. And I think over a few months we've had maybe one or two. But the one, the month before last, we had three prayer requests that were genuine. You know, a lady that I think it was only a second month with us, had asked for prayer, and then another lady that comes, and it just felt like, you know, suddenly people were thinking, oh, we can ask for prayer, and it felt like we'd taken a step forward. It's little things, but it's those sort of things that encourage us to keep on going. So please do pray for Messy Church and what happens there, and the families that we have contact with, that most of them don't have any contact with any other church. So it's a real privilege for us to be able to work with them and to teach them the stories. The ark still goes on. Again, if you feel that that's something that you can help with, I know that they'd be really grateful for helpers. There's Gillian, Anne and Sarah at the moment doing the main bit. We've got the people in the kitchen. But particularly if you feel that you could come, just help to chat to people, help with putting toys away, that would be really appreciated. Another success this last year, Sally, stretch. Sally has persevered with stretch, and now it's doing really well. The numbers are up. How many did you take for your Christmas meal? 20 people from stretch. And that wasn't everybody, was it? There were some people that didn't go on it. So that has just, it's just really blossomed, hasn't it, Sally? And, you know, you just sort of think about 28, is it, on the books, 28 people that are coming into this church that we're having contact with. And, you know, and there are some of you here that come along to stretch. And we just have to thank God for these opportunities that he presents to us through things like the Ark, Messy Church, Stretch. And they're the places where we meet our community, where our lives touch their lives, where we can have some influence. Home groups have carried on going, and I know those of you that are in home groups are enjoying them. If you're not in a home group and would like to be in one, please do speak to me. We've got them on various nights, Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Mary does one on a Wednesday morning if you can't do an evening. So speak to me if you'd like to be involved in that. It's another way that you become connected and engaged in church and church life. This year we had our church weekend away. As always, it was a good time. It was an enjoyable time. And I think whenever we do that, it just helps to build those relationships between us. We won't be doing one this year, but hopefully we'll be doing one in 2021. Can you believe 2021? We've also had sad times this year as well. We lost Norman towards the end of the year, and I know particularly over Christmas I felt his loss. I don't know about you, the things that we were doing, and I would think, Norman would have really enjoyed this, the carol service, you know, or he would have been on the door, he'd have been in his element welcoming people in, you know. And there is the sadness of that loss, but thank you for those of you that have stepped in to do some of the things that Norman did, like the welcome. You know, he did that so well, and you've stepped in, and in a way it's a way of honouring him by us doing it and doing it well, isn't it? So thank you for doing that. Okay, so I just want to leave you with some verses. Actually, it's quite a lot of verses, but I want to read them to you. If you've got your Bibles, if you want to look in 1 Chronicles 16, that's not something we look at very often, you might want to get your Bibles and look at it. And I just want to encourage us with these verses. As I said, that song that Simon played before we finished actually really sums up this, because if I can just put the verses into context, it's at the time when the Ark of the Covenant has been brought back to Jerusalem. It had been captured by the Philistines. As usual, it was one of those occasions when I think it was Saul that had gone into battle, and it just wasn't the right thing. God hadn't told him to do it. The Philistines captured the ark. The interesting thing is, while they were in possession of the ark, wherever that was in their country, things happened. People got tumours, and then when they didn't want it anymore because of all the bad things that were happening, so it moved somewhere else. And each time they moved it, the things that were happening were getting worse, till in the end that they were just glad to get it back to the people of Israel. So David has got the ark back, and as if you know the story, it wasn't without its complications. It toppled off the thing that they were moving it on, and somebody put out the hand to steady it, and they were killed. And so lots of things that went on around it, but finally it's made its way back to where it should be. It's the emblem, the ark is the emblem of God's presence and glory, and it was finally back in its rightful place. And then this psalm is one that David wrote as the ark came back, as the presence of God came back into the midst of the people. And, you know, one of the things this year, I just think what I want is, you know, for us to know God's presence in the midst of us, that we experience that, that we know it, that we recognise it. So let's hear this psalm that David wrote. I'm going to read from verse 7. It is quite long, but bear with me. On that day, David gave to Asaph and his fellow Levites this song of thanksgiving to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exalt in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles and the rulings he has given your children of his servant Israel, you descendants of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His justice is seen throughout the land. Remember his covenant forever, the commitment he made to 1,000 generations. This is the covenant he made with Abraham and the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree and to the people of Israel as a never-ending covenant. I will give you the land of Canaan as your special possession. He said this when you were few in number, a tiny group of strangers in Canaan. They wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another, yet he did not let anyone oppress them. He warned kings on their behalf, do not touch my chosen people and do not hurt my prophets. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Tell all the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest rustle with praise, for the Lord is coming to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather and rescue us from among the nations, so we can thank your holy name and rejoice and praise you. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people shouted, Amen, and praised the Lord. So I'm sure you can imagine what that must have been like as this ark had come back and all the people were gathered together and all the musicians had led the people in praise and worship. And then there is this amazing psalm that David has written. You can imagine the big amen that went up at the end of that. And I'm just going to draw three simple things from these verses. The first one is that we need to remember what God has done. It's a psalm of thanksgiving and praise, but it starts with remembering what God has done. Last week, last Sunday, we had a time where we shared what God had done for us in the last year. And I don't know about you, but it was just lovely to hear the testimonies, the things that people shared about what God had done in that year. Verses 8 and verse 12 and verse 15 are all talking about encouraging us to remember what God has done. Verse 8 tells us to tell others of the things God has done for us. But first of all, we need to remember his goodness to us. Do we do that? Sometimes we get so sort of bogged down and that by things that are going on around us, that it, somehow it blinds us, and it's like things become dark, and we don't see the good things that God is doing because the things that are troubling us seem to be so big. That's why it's good to remember the good things that God has done. Do we remind each other of those things? When we meet together, you know, when we're chatting at the start of the service or at the end of the service, if something has happened in the week, if we've had an answer to prayer, do we think, oh, I must tell people what God has done this week. I must say what God has done. There's always the opportunity to come and share with everybody. You know, if you've had an answer to prayer, let's hear about it, because, you know, that just encourages everybody. Let's not forget what God has done. Do we remember his miracles and wonders? We did. Wendy was able to bring her story about how God has healed her. You know, when she had that diagnosis, it seemed like this a major big thing. And yet God has brought her through. It's a miracle. I think that's a miracle. Yes, he used the doctors, but it's a miracle. And it's those things, when we hear those stories, that makes us think, if he's done it for Wendy, maybe he could do it for me. If he's done it for that person, if he's changed that situation, maybe he can change my situation. Your stories matter. We need to remember what God has done for us. And those verses say not only to remember his miracles, but to remember his wonders. Well, what are his wonders? As we look around us, we're surrounded by the wonders of God. When we look at creation, that's a wonder of God, isn't it? How amazing is that? The way that he provides for us, the provision that he gives to us. What about salvation? That's a wonder, isn't it? You know, that God would do that, could save us, could turn our lives around, could take someone like me and do something in my life. That is a wonder. That's a miracle. It's an answer to prayer. So although we do have problems, we do have difficulties, and I'm not saying that those things will just disappear, but sometimes when we remember who God is and what he has done, it puts those things into perspective. As we focus on him and his goodness to us, and we remember those times, somehow those things begin to shrink when we compare them to who God is. When God woke us up this morning, he woke us up so that we could enjoy another day. Just being thankful for life. If nothing else, whatever else is going on, we can be thankful for the life that God has given us. He's given us another day to recall all that he's done and to praise him. So this year, let us as individuals and as a church, let us be people who remember God's goodness to us and to give thanks and praise when we come together like this. Second thing that this Psalm encourages us to do is to tell others what he has done. Verse 9 says, tell everybody about his miracles and his wonders. So it's not just for us, it's tell everyone. So that's the people that you come into contact with, the people that you work with, the people that you live with, the people that you meet in the street. You know, there are always opportunities to tell people about how amazing God is. When we see those amazing sunsets or those rainbows in the sky, you know, and we take pictures and we stick them on Instagram. I can't, because I don't know how you do Instagram, or Facebook, or what, wherever you like to post your pictures, you know, just to say, wow, you know, isn't God good? It's a way of just drawing people's attention to who God is. Tell people how good God is. When that rain comes in Australia, you know, we need to believe that will come and that will happen. I hope we see lots of messages. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for answering our prayers. Tell everyone about his miracles and his wonders. Verse 24, tell about the amazing things that he does. When we have those answers to prayer, do we tell other people, not just in here? I'm thinking about people outside of our church community. Do we tell others when God does something good for us? Or do we think, oh no, I can't tell them, they won't understand, oh, it's embarrassing? But actually, we need to tell others about his goodness to us, about those answers to prayer, the way that he watches over us, the way that he helps us with our fears, our anxieties, the way that he helps us get through difficult situations. Tell it. That's what it says. Tell everybody. Tell the world. Verse 31. Tell all the nations that the Lord reigns. Not everybody knows that. Not everybody believes that. And in times of uncertainty, when it seems like things are out of control, like Brexit, like the things in Australia, like what's going on in Iran, we look at things that seem, you know, what's going on? We have no control over it. No, we don't. But God does. We have a God who is able to change people's hearts, to turn things around. And we need to trust in God. And we need to share that with other people, that our hope is in a God who is bigger than all of that. In a time when people are fearful and anxious about the future, we've got a hope, haven't we? We've got a hope for the future. And we need to share that with people. It's an amazing thing to know that God is in control and to be able to put our trust in him. So if we want to see people coming to know God, we've got to tell them about him. They need to know who God is, what he's like, what his character is, how much he loves us. You need to share what he's done for you. Shout it out. That's what he's saying here. Shout it. Sing it. Tell it to everybody how good God is. And then the third and final thing is that we are called here to praise him, to thank him, but also to look ahead to what he will do. In verses 34 and 35, it says, gather and rescue us from among the nations so we can thank your holy name and rejoice and praise you. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. See, God just isn't confined to the now. God's in the future. God knows what's coming. And he wants us to look forward, to believe that he has that plan for us, that he's got things in place for us. This year, as we stand at the beginning of a new year and we look forward, what are we looking forward to? Maybe at the moment you can't see past tomorrow. But actually, God has a purpose for us. He's got a plan for us as individuals. He's got a plan for us as a church. What are our expectations for this year? What do we believe that God can do through us? You know, we've got the things that I've just talked about, all the things that we're involved in. And it does seem like, you know, we just go through it and we do it week in, week out. But actually, what has God got in store for us through those things? What has God got for us as a church? I haven't got anything written down. I feel like I'm standing on the edge of something looking forward. And I think that we move forward together and we will see different things. But as a church, as we pray and as we encourage each other, as we share what God has done, as we expect God to do things, I think we're going to see things happen this year. It's been lovely this last year seeing new faces joining us. And I think when God brings people in, he brings them for a purpose. So those of you that have joined us over the last year, and that's a few of you, I believe that it's not an accident that you're here with us in River of Life, that God has put you here and he has a purpose for you, and you will be part of what God is doing here, building this community and reaching out to the people out there. So thank you for joining with us. Thank you for committing yourselves to us. And I just pray that over this coming year that we will see what God will do through all of you. So be encouraged. It's not an accident that you're here with us this morning. And I want to encourage you, as Wendy did last week on a Wednesday lunchtime, Mary leads that prayer group, Seeing Real Answers to Prayer. If you want to know about them, speak to Mary. She keeps a book with what we've prayed for and the answers that we've had. It's really encouraging to come and to pray and to see how God is moving. So let's look forward with thanksgiving and praise into 2020. And let's be expectant of what God is going to do for us. He's when it talks in this psalm about the covenant that he's made, that's talking about the promises that he's given us. He's given us promises and he will fulfill them because he's a God of his word. So let us do that. We're going to continue with our worship. And as we do, let's remember those things that God has done for us. And if you weren't here last week and weren't able to give a testimony, or you thought, oh, I really wish I'd said about that, it's not too late. Microphone's here. I can pass it around. You can interrupt Simon. He won't mind. Will you? Yeah, so please do share your testimonies. Tell us what God has done. Tell us how God's been good to us over the last year. And let's look forward with hope. Oh, Sue. See?
First of all, a massive thank you to everybody here. Your prayers, your thoughts, your kindness, your visits, everything. Thank you so much. Him sitting next to me isn't supposed to be here. When we went up to the hospital a couple of weeks back, they actually said, this is it. Nothing we can do. They've given him nothing different. And he said to me, yes, I think we should go to church tomorrow. God has been so good to us this year with cancer and everything else and all the problems Ian's had. Well, we're both here and we're both here to stay, okay? Thank you very, very much.